through Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and SMS. The debate. The debate. The debate. Only on Press TV.
Terrorism has unfortunately been associated with representing Muslim countries, which couldn't be further from the truth. That misunderstanding goes against the face of the numbers associated with terrorist acts, in which the perpetrators of terrorism were members of far-right groups, for example, in the UK. In this edition of the debate, we'll ask why, in that country, there has been a surge in far-right terrorism.
It was a time for a show of unity in the face of yet another appalling terror attack. After Westminster, Manchester and London Bridge, now Finsbury Park can be added to the roll call of horror, as one man was confirmed dead and multiple casualties taken to three separate hospitals across the capital. Eyewitnesses say the man was shouting, "I want to kill Muslims," when he was detained by the crowds. 47-year-old Darren Osborne from Cardiff in Wales has been arrested on suspicion of attempted murder and later for the commission, preparation or instigation of terrorism. The Prime Minister was quickly on the scene and had earlier described the attacks as sickening, but equalities campaigners believe official rhetoric and policy played their part.
I think Theresa May, with her speech, "Enough is enough, safe spaces given to people," has been too much of a license to target Muslims. There's been a very sharp increase in the attacks on Muslims in British society, and particularly in London, and it's gone unreported, except for your good selves. It's gone unreported.
Whilst unity remains the watchword, there was still a sense of frustration that the incident wasn't immediately deemed a terror attack. This resident, who worships at both the Muslim Welfare House and Finsbury Park Mosque, but wishes to remain anonymous, voiced his concerns.
It's really sad that we're living in a time where people cannot be honest about what to call this. You know, so if it's a Muslim, it's defined as a terrorist attack. If it's not a Muslim, we've got to wait and see what it's called, although it's very similar to what happened. And it's very clear that this looks like a retaliation to what's been happening from London Bridge, Manchester, Westminster.
It goes without saying that mosque and other houses of worship will be on high alert, bearing in mind what happened here at Finsbury Park. And whilst the Prime Minister has praised the courage of those who bravely helped to subdue the suspect on this occasion, tensions around the country will, of course, be high. The scene was visited by the Mayor of London and the boss of the Met Police, who have pledged additional resources to calm community fears in the current climate. Amina Taylor, Press TV, London.
Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate, we have journalist and political commentator Richard Millett, who joins us from London. Richard Millett, welcome. Let's talk about the incident that happened in regards to the Finsbury Park Mosque. When that incident happened, what did you hear about the way that this incident was described, the form and manner that the media and what have you described it as?
I think it was pretty quickly labeled as a terrorist attack. I think it was obvious that it was. It was obviously in the midst of the final prayer of the day for Ramadan, a group of Muslim worshippers coming out of the mosque, being cruelly run into, run down via a van. And I think that it's absolutely horrific. I think no one, very few reasonable-minded people have anything to, anything but absolute disdain for what happened and for the attacker. And the police were there within 2 minutes, the ambulances within four, and the fire emergency services within 8 minutes, as I understand it. And I think all over the media in Britain, this has been labeled terrorism, whether it's far-right British nationalist terrorism. From what he said at the scene, this attacker said that he had done a good thing and he wanted to kill Muslims, which is obviously absolutely horrific. And whether it's a far-right British nationalist, as he possibly is, or far extreme Islamist, as we've seen, as your report mentioned, London, Manchester, Westminster, London Bridge, Westminster Bridge, and Manchester, they're all labeled terrorism. There's no doubt about it. There are high tensions in London at the moment, and hopefully the mosques and the Islamic community centres, as I understand it, they are going to be given more protection, more funding for security, more police protection, more security, and that's obviously the right thing. And everyone is on full alert in London because of, my God, in the last couple of months, something horrific's been happening virtually every week now, and as we saw with the Grenfell fire as well. Tomorrow is labelled by the far left as a day of rage in London. There's going to be potentially hundreds of thousands of very angry people out on the streets of London in very hot weather. And the emergency services are going to be stretched even more tomorrow. The police are going to have to be out in force. So there are great concerns with all minority communities in this country, including the Jewish community, a small community in England, only 280,000 Jewish people in England. And on the weekend, there was the Al-Quds Day Hezbollah march with absolute horrific anti-Semitism all the way through it. The flag of Hezbollah with the AK-47 gun that was waved all the way across the streets of London. It's the flag of a terrorist organization that has bombed Jewish people all around the world, aimed, targeted, and murdered many Jewish people around the world. And for that march to be allowed to take place was extremely worrying for the small, tiny Jewish community in this country. I think right across the board, there are tensions within the Muslim and the Jewish community, and both communities have been joining forces. The rabbis and the imams have been getting together for showing themselves to be united, making united statements. The chief rabbi has been breaking Ramadan fasts with the Muslim community. And it's obviously the last week of Ramadan, and it's something hopefully to be celebrated. And this is obviously what happened at Finsbury Park. It's absolutely horrific.
Right.
Very, very disgusting action.
Well, we're going to get to that day of rage and what it is spelling out and what it is going to turn out to be based on the way that it's being covered. And it's quite amazing how that reflects the divisions that exist, at least within the UK. But when we take a look at the incident that happened with the Finsbury Park Mosque, based on what our correspondent indicated, it was not first reported to be a terrorist incident. But at this point, obviously, it has been categorized as such. Do you think that there may be a light at the end of the tunnel regarding this in terms of the general public perception that when there's a terrorist act, usually it's the general public perception that maybe a Muslim has committed that act? Do you think that debunks that myth?
I don't think the public's that stupid. I think the public realizes we've had the far right have been ever present in this country. We've had the far right racist organizations against Jewish minority in the 30s and the 40s, against the black minority in the 60s and 70s, against the Irish minority. I don't think the British community labels this necessarily as Islamic terrorism. I don't think there's anything against, you know, the individual wonderful Muslim citizen of this country. There's a minority that is of the Muslim population that takes the religion to the extremes and interprets it in a very, very ideological, hardcore manner. Mm-hmm. And on one side, and on the other side, there's the opposite reaction, far-right ideology that also sees that the way to carry out its objective is through slaughter, murder, attacks. So I think it's not something that the British public is coming to terms with. I think right. it is accepted it long term. It's always well, accepted this situation.
We like to get some terminologies defined here. Let me introduce our next guest. We have TV journalist Said Mohsen Abbas, who joins us also from London. Said Mohsen Abbas, welcome. I'd like to for you to clarify some terminologies for us here. First of all, our guest in London has used the word Islamic terrorism. Now, I'd like to find out from you what that exactly means and why it is when a far-right person commits an act of terrorism, we don't say Christian terrorism. Religion is not brought in. But then when you have somebody commits an act who's a Muslim, then they call it Islamic terrorism.
Well, terrorism has no religion, and you're absolutely right. It's a real nonsense that these kind of, if you like, labels are being hijacked. And Muslims actually generally have, for the last 20 years, been stigmatized with a hijacking of a terminology of words like Islamic State, niqab, hijab. All these terms have taken on a new meaning in the minds of the mainstream Western public. And this is very deliberate. It's not something that is an accident. On the ground, analysts are very clear about the fact that the policies of counterterrorism, especially around Contest 2, which is the British government's prevention of extremism policy here in the UK, is categorically geared towards Muslims. And so all of the incidents around terror, around the word extremism, they're labeled primarily to Muslims. So here now today you have an incident where it's not a Muslim who's done it. Clearly it's a white supremacist type of racist, Islamophobic individual. And initially the papers were very, very reluctant to use that word terrorism. I think it's only because social media has gone up in flames that actually they're being forced to call it what it is. It is terrorism by people of a nature that we don't understand yet.
I saw you shaking your head, Richard Miller. Do you have a response?
Well, can I just clarify? I'm sure I used the word Islamist terrorism, which is completely different from Islamic terrorism. If I did use the word Islamic terrorism, then I shouldn't have done. Islamist was what I meant if I didn't say that. I think the press, I think it's unfair. I think the media really was certainly labelled what happened as terrorism. I don't think it relies on social media at all. I think the media is very sensitive to what happened in Finsbury Park, and I think fair is fair. If it has all the hallmarks of terrorism, which this seemed to have done, we still, you know, this attacker still has to stand trial. They still have to investigate to see what his inspirations were behind this sickening act. But I think they were pretty quick to label this terrorism from what I'd seen. I mean, even when it happens, you know, even when there's an Islamist attacker, well, it seems to be an Islamist attacker, the press doesn't even then use the word Islamist because you don't know, do you? You just don't know.
So why do you use it?
Pardon?
Why do you use it?
Well, Islamist is, as I say, it's a political ideology. It's the extreme interpretation of Islam, and it's taken to the extremes, and I think that's an acceptable term, the word mm-hmm. Islamist.
Well, let me jump in here and get a reaction from our guest, Said Mohsen Abbas, because obviously there was an overlook of some sorts when you have the report that came out that said that the data shows 35% of the people arrested in Britain on the suspicion of terrorism last year were members of far-right groups. That's a 10% rise. And of course, this goes with what the UK government was forewarned on, that the UK's anti-terror prevent strategy should focus on far-right white terrorism. That's what that report says. So obviously they were so focused in anything other than that, that they overlooked it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this gentleman This gentleman, his name is Osborne, he's a Welshman, he's from Cardiff. Wales has a 50% uptake from, I think, the counter-terrorism forces and their analysis. Apparently Channel or these sort of guys have got, who are supposed to be dealing with these characters, they know full well that there's a large groundswell of this. Now, this is not surprising. Firstly, once you've had 20 years of an incessant campaign in vilifying, stereotyping and actually targeting one specific community, i.e. the Muslim communities here in this country, it's no surprise that people who have got those sentiments against immigrants, against refugees, against Muslims, against foreigners in general, in a climate where the economic decline is inevitable here in Britain as well and Brexit is going on, you can see that there are going to be people who've got psychological issues as well as racial, you know, racial prejudicial issues, who are going to be very encouraged if you're not going to give them some kind of deterrent. And I think that the security services, and particularly Theresa May, who's been the Home Office Minister, who was in charge of all this policy for many years, even before she was Prime Minister, she is culpable. Very clearly, her strategies around counterterrorism have totally failed, because we're getting terror attack upon terror attack, and actually there seems to be no control within the security services. Now, whether the security services themselves are complicit in this and allowing things to go on because it suits some greater agenda to create conflict in this country, I don't know. I can't say that for sure, because we as Muslims do not have access to the transparency of looking at surveillance security services and what they're doing. They don't let ordinary folk in to see what they're doing and what they're not doing. We don't have any sense of scrutiny or power over them. So how do we know they're really acting in our favor or in our interests? There's no evidence to suggest they are, to me.
Well, looking at this day of rage, and I'm checking out some of the headlines here, and it's really alarming, Richard Millett. I mean, the Telegraph, I'll just read the headline: Grenfell community fear day of rage protests could descend into riots as organizers threaten class war. We're going a little bit beyond now into the divisions that obviously exist in the UK. What has led the UK down this path where we're looking at, for example, this headline that is threatening class war to come out of this protest that's going to be held tomorrow?
Can I just go back to my colleague there saying that they have no insight? I mean, it's a bit of a conspiracy theory, what he just said. I mean, we've got the Muslim mayor of London, wonderful mayor of London, who I'm sure works very, very closely with the police and is kept up to date with all the situations that are happening in London at the moment. With regards to your question, this is just seemingly momentum. The far left, quite a violent, contains quite a violent people, and this is the Corbyn effect, the John McDonnell effect of trying to whip up any kind of rage to overthrow a democratically elected government. They wish to take power, it seems. However, it happens as they've lost the general election a few weeks ago, and they have to wait probably another 5 years before another general election. And obviously, there's a good things that chance that situations might have changed in 5 years. There might be an economic upturn. There might be a very, very successful Brexit, which leaves the British people very much better off than they were inside the EU. This is now when, unfortunately, you get these, unfortunately, many violent characters within Momentum, within the extreme left of the Labour Party, who are taking to the streets. And there is a very possibility. They know that the police resources are stretched. They know London's on high alert. They know there's been a horrific fire in Grenfell, where probably near 100 residents have died. They know there are terrorist attacks. And these people, these absolute, you know, quite violent, vile members of Momentum are going out there to potentially cause even more havoc on the streets of London. And we have wonderful emergency services, The nurses, the police, the fire, the ambulances, and unfortunately they're going to be stretched tomorrow. I hope it's not the case, but these are very, very selfish individuals who are going to go out on the streets of London, and they seek to cause havoc, and they have no right to. They should just really wait for the next general election before that's the way to change a government, not by violence.
Well, Sayyid Mohsen Abbas, I'm not too sure if you agree with that. I mean, to blame the politicians and their followers, in this case, the Labour Party. But this is just one aspect of what I believe, based on what has happened in the UK, for this division to appear in the form and manner that it has. And we saw an increase, an uptick when Brexit happened. Do you think that Brexit was kind of the next level, bringing about and having these sentiments surface amongst the population?
Well, look, there's been a fundamental focus on the notion of, if you like, austerity. Austerity has been driven by a false narrative put out by neoconservatives and the Tory government, implemented by the Tory government over the last eight to 10 years. And the reality is that actually they can print as much money as they like. Britain is in debt more than Greece. So the reality is the money lenders who support the system here, if they want to bail out the system, they can do it any time. The reality also is that the austerity has affected mainly the poor. The targeting has been the poor. The wealthy have been exonerated from all this. And the Tory government's policies actually, and their manifesto, actually bore this out. So firstly, there's a very tacit strategy. And Brexit has been part of that. You're absolutely right that the fear that's been created by the instability, economic instability potentially, that Brexit brings, the fear that's been spread through terrorism, the fear and the demoralization that's been spread through, if you like, scaring people about immigration, the fear that's there because of the wars that Britain is involved in the Middle East. I mean, we're arming Saudi Arabia to bomb Yemen, to bomb Syria, to bomb every nation which is acting oppressively in that region. Britain is supplying funds to the Bahraini regimes as well. So wherever there is terror, there's war, there's fear to be created, it seems as though we, as a nation, as a state apparatus, are there and we're fueling it. Rather than siding on the poor and the needy or the oppressed, we're doing the contrary. We're actually supporting everything which will create conflict. And now the conflict is coming back to Britain. The blowback, which we've predicted for years, because of our investment in ISIS and our investment in those forces like Jabhat al-Nusra in Syria, our connections with Saudi, who've been supplying the weapons and the arms to these people. Well, the chickens are coming home to roost in many ways, and they're gonna hit Muslims and non-Muslims. So people better just thank their governments for implementing ineffective policies and policies which have nurtured this kind of conflict to now come back to our shores.
Okay, we're going to end it there. Thank you very much. That was TV journalist Sayyid Mohsen Abbas from London. Also from London, journalist and political commentator Richard Miller. Thank you for your comments. That is for another edition of The Debate. Any questions or comments, newsroom@pacific.ir is our email address. When we cover Tabway and the entire team in the Capitol, tap on. It's goodbye.